listeners. It is 5:15 p.m. and you are now tuned in to the Pastor Spot, a radio ministry of Community Christian Fellowship. My name is Terry Tackett, your announcer, and I will turn it over now to Pastor Steve Whitaker, the host of the show. Hello, Pastor Whitaker.
How are you, Terry?
I'm doing great. Yourself?
I'm doing wonderful. Good. Hey, I'm looking around here in the office. I see a quite a bit of decoration up here. It looks like Scott has gotten in the Halloween spirit.
A little Halloween spirit.
Halloween stuff. But you know what? I don't see any candy sitting anywhere. What's going on? I guess we got tricked and not the treat.
Well, huh? I think that comes at the last minute. I think we put that.
All right.
Because we don't want that to go bad.
So no, not at all. Yeah. Hey, again, this is Pastor Steve Whitaker of Community Christian Fellowship. Community Christian Fellowship is at 209 East Water Street in Prospect, Ohio. Our phone number is 740-494-2222, and our website is prospectccf.com. Love you to come and see us sometime. Sunday morning, we're at 9:30 Sunday school, 10:30 worship. Sunday evening, 6:30, we also have youth group at 6:30, and we are beginning this month. Team Kid is kicking off on Tuesdays, twice a month, the second and fourth Tuesday of the month at 6:30. You can bring your kids ages 3 to 5th grade and drop them off at the church. They'll have a great time and pick them up at 8 o'clock. And I'll be doing a thing on at the same time for teenagers called Pizza with Pastor, where we spend that same time as the younger kids are in there, but we go have pizza and we talk about anything they bring up and want to talk about. So it's just a really good time. And again, I want to mention, being the season, this coming Sunday, is our fall worship in the park. It is after church. It's from 3 to 6 o'clock. There's plenty of food and activities and games and hay rides and bounce houses and you name it, it's going to be there, and music. And it doesn't cost you a dime, folks. It's in the Prospect Park. Just come and you won't be able to miss us. You'll see us as soon as you pull in. But you're all welcome, and welcome all of you. Hey, I want to do something a little different tonight and add another twist to the show a little bit. If anyone out there has something that is on their heart, a prayer request or something that you're burdened with, feel free to call in here at 740-383-9944, and I'd be more than happy to take your prayer request and even pray with you. But remember, too, when we call in, it's a good family show, and enjoy hearing from you, though. Call in if you can. But this evening, I want to talk about a couple things. Kind of interesting. We've been talking about simplicity a lot and going back to some of that, and I was thinking today, I was painting two old iron beds. Terry, did you ever see those old iron beds that are kind of got a curved top to them, and they've got the little about every 5 inches, they've got a little bar down, you know? You see them in the movies. If you really want to see them, most of the time in the old Westerns, they were always in the hotel rooms.
Right, yep.
My wife and I were at a yard sale out by Marysville last summer, I think it was. Anyway, maybe in the spring. But anyway, we bought these two beds, and the older couple that was selling them said that they were their parents' beds. They raised their kids with the beds in the house, and then they turned around, and they both slept on them until they got old and really, really old, and it was time to get rid of these beds. So my grandson power washed them the other day, and then I finished cleaning them up and priming them up, and was painting them today, and they will be the new beds in the bedroom. Not our bedroom, but a spare bedroom. And, you know, in thinking about that, as I was working on them today, I thought to myself, how odd is it that you can go back 150 years, and I'd be willing to bet these beds are probably that old. And you can go back that far, and they're so made so well that when someone bought these beds, they bought them for a lifetime. And they have survived a couple lifetimes. And now we're using them again, and they'll probably be passed down through my family. And I was thinking about this, and we're in such a throwaway society, and we spend so much that, you know, people are constantly struggling with finances and all those things. And, you know, the Bible tells us, you know, to be wise with what we have. and to be frugal and to be smart with what we have and use what we have that comes in that the Lord gives us to use it wisely. And I think of this, I was thinking on my way in too about, as I was thinking about these things, about Marion a few years ago. You know, Marion lost most of its industry a few years ago, really hit hard and really hurt the town desperately. But as they started to recover and survive, I noticed, and this was, you know, 10, 12, 15 years ago, that they had kind of become a consumer economy. And what I mean by that is you had fast food places everywhere. You had stores everywhere. But there wasn't really any solid industry for the most part, other than Wyandotte and a couple others. And what people were doing is they were going to work in these places, and they were working their hours, making their money, and then going back and spending in other places in town. It was just a circular thing where you work in town, you get the money to go support the stores, the fast food places, and those places. But there wasn't anything actually being made, and for the most part, that really stabilizes an economy. And that would not have worked 100 years ago, because we didn't have all these places for people to work. The town would have collapsed. But at the same time, maybe industry wouldn't have left either. And, you know, the industry would have been more established. But you look now, and I love to see what Nucor is doing. You know, they've been expanding and doing well, and the industry that seems to be growing in Marion again. And it's really good to see that in us being a getting away from hopefully some of the regulations that were pulling everyone down and closing businesses down. But it's nice to see the economy coming back a little. But with the economy coming back, I know that Whirlpool's been hiring. I just talked to a young man that graduated last year that's in a training program at Whirlpool, and he just loves it. As you start to build and as you start to grow personally, how about we start thinking about what we buy, how we spend, and how long is it going to last? I don't think that we're always going to have people that will be drawn to a throwaway society. But if you're ever going to get anywhere in life, you better think long term. How long is something going to last? You know, am I going to go buy this bedroom suit that's going to fall apart in 5 years and have to go buy another one? Or am I going to go buy something maybe at the Goodwill that was made 40 years ago that's still solid as can be and last me the rest of my life? Now, that doesn't seem as fun, but I was looking at our house today, and I was going through and I was looking and thinking about it, and at least 90% of the things in my house were either handed down or bought secondhand, and they're really nice things, quality things. And I thought to myself, what would it cost if I just went out to a furniture store and bought all this stuff new? And would it even be as good? You think about those things. But I don't think that we're getting a really good lesson from those that should be passing that lesson on, not just our young people, but even to us. We have people in leadership positions in the country today that just spend enormous amounts of money. And they make enormous amounts of money. And I'm not sure that I understand that one either. We send a lot of people to Washington, and somehow when they get to Washington, they get rich. Now, I don't know about you, but that leaves me suspect. Wouldn't it you, Terry? Just a little bit?
Well, it does, because the question that I always ask is, if they work for us, why do they do better than we do?
Ah, good question, which leads me to something I'd like to read. Boy, you couldn't have timed that any better, sir. This is in John chapter 13. And Jesus had just washed the disciples' feet, and he wants to explain it. And in verse 12 it says, when Jesus had washed their feet and put on his outer clothing, he reclined again and said to them, do you know what I have done for you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you are speaking rightly, since that is what I am. So if I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that you should do just as I do. Truly I tell you, a servant is not greater than his master, and a messenger is not greater than the one who sent him. If you know these things, you are blessed if you do them. A servant is not greater than his master, and a messenger is not greater than the one who sent him. Think about this. We have people in leadership, and I realize Jesus is talking in this particular case about himself and him being a servant and that was sent by God. And even though he was the teacher, he was the master, he had to come down and wash their feet and humble himself to do that. And I don't think that today in our government, we have very many people humbling themselves to wash our feet. I know that may sound silly and being a grin to some people's faces. But the truth is, we sent them to be who they are, to do what they're doing. And instead of understanding us, and Terry, I mean, this is across the board. This is bipartisan gets. Just go online and Google different politicians in either party and see what their income is, and it'll blow your mind. Because some of the very ones that are doing the most yelling about fairness and about equality have gone to Washington and gotten filthy, filthy rich. And they're not being a good example to the people. One time, wouldn't you like to see a politician that lived like you do? Remember the guy that showed in Wisconsin a few years ago? What was his name? Slips my mind, but he was running for Congress, and he drove around in a pickup truck meeting. Remember that?
Mm-hmm.
Do you know why that appealed to people? Sure you do.
Because he was a common, you know.
Because he appeared to be a common guy.
Yeah.
And people were drawn to that. You know, this guy understands me. Mm-hmm. This guy knows me. I'd like to see that played out in reality to where it was real sometime. We have gotten so, in Washington, we have gotten so caught up in the legality of things and the illegality of things and putting one up in each other on who can get the legal edge on who, that the only people that ever seem to go to Washington are attorneys. You realize that? Almost all of them. They're in some form or another, they're usually an attorney. And I think, or they're a career politician. And I look at that and I think, whether they realize it or not, I have a lot of common sense. You have a lot of common sense. Why don't we just take the average common sense American and send them to Washington? And I think, why is it that people in Washington always think they can put one over on us? You know why? Because they don't believe that we're on the same level they are. It's a condescending attitude. They can pull one over on us because we're not very smart. And then we turn around and prove that we're not very smart by buying in to what they're pulling and getting on board, and we're controlled as society by what the media says, and we're controlled about what these people say. It just takes a few buzzwords and catchwords to get people all riled up and carrying on. But if we bring the situation back home to us personally, we wouldn't stand for that for a minute. Just some of the things going on. We seem to go from scandal to scandal, and if there's not a scandal, they'll create a scandal. And this is not what these put these people in Washington to do. Now, I don't know about you, Terry, but I know that in my life and in anyone else's life, there are things that I don't want to, are better off probably that I just, you know, personal things that I not tell the world, because today we live in a society where people use things against you. Have you ever been falsely accused of anything, Terry?
Sure.
Yeah. Have you ever had have you ever said anything that was misconstrued that made you look guilty?
Sure.
So have I. We all have.
Yeah.
But that's why you and I wouldn't stand a chance going to Washington. Because not only do we have something that somebody could do, but we don't have the money to fight it off. And they've created this environment where it's a huge back-scratching environment. Now, if you're my friend and you're doing something wrong, rather than coming out and saying, you know, lying about it and being bold about it, I'm going to come out and say, you know what, we need to talk. I'm your friend. Let's clear this thing up. Let's get it over. And we don't see a lot of that today. But we need to be able, these people in leadership need to be humbled in their position to understand they were sent there by us to represent us, not to represent themselves. And that's what seems to happen. I look at our drug costs in this country. It blows me away that it's ran away the way. You know why it's ran away the way it has? Because politicians on both sides of the equation and corporate elites have got it there to where it costs what it does. It's all about money. And it's all about lobbyists. You know, everyone, how many politicians have run and talked about stopping the lobbyists, but then they go right and do the same thing? You know why they do the same thing? The money's too good not to. And so lobbyists buy their politicians, and politicians, we really need, I truly, truly believe this, is we need term limits for politicians. Because we got some people in there that have just stayed and they get more and more and more, and some of the unbelievable things they've done that just seems to be swept under the rug, and then someone else comes along that maybe hasn't really done much, and they decide to launch it, they'll destroy them. And they do that, and it's tiring. Why are we not holding our politicians' feet to the fire? If we have politicians that are doing things they shouldn't, and we know it, and we truly know it. Whatever happened to the day where they sat down in a room and duked it out until they got to the bottom of it and ended it? Now, instead, they want to spend millions of dollars. The media makes a ton of money off of it because they got a front-page story for the next month. You know, it's all about them spending money, spending tails. They have all these people on as guest hosts on all these shows. And no one ever has a guest host on that they're really going to disagree with. You know, what am I going to do? If I'm a Democrat and I'm in the media and I'm going to have someone on my show, 9 times out of 10, it's going to be a Democrat because I want to get my message out too, and I want them to agree with me. If I'm a Republican and I run a show, I'm probably going to have someone most of the time that agrees with me on there. At least they're one of the guests that will agree with me. You know, and it's all become about money, and I think that we've kind of taken the servant's attitude away. We've taken the financial, we've made the financial part of it paramount. It really doesn't matter what you do if you haven't been convicted. But if you surround yourself with people that are never going to bring you to that point, you're not going to be anyway. And then everybody scratches everyone's back. And you know who pays for all this? Who does, Terry?
We do.
We do. In things that aren't getting done. In programs that get buried because of the bureaucracy and about all the upfront, I call it the load money, the money up front to pay all the people that are doing it. You know, paying 10 people to do the job of one. And it's just constantly, once that bank account is open to hit that stuff, it's just nonstop. Our economy is, I mean, this is something else I really struggle with. You know, we're told to be honest and straightforward. I was preaching in Nehemiah on Sunday, and I was in Nehemiah chapter 6. And correct me if I'm wrong, but I believe I was in Nehemiah 6. Anyway, and Nehemiah was scolding. Nehemiah was scolding the people, the other Jews, as they were rebuilding Jerusalem. He was scolding the other leaders and the people in Jerusalem, the noblemen and those people that were given. They were having a shortage of grain. So he was taking, they were taking people, they had grain, and they were giving them grain, but it was one of these kind of deals. You know, I'm going to give you a sack of wheat, but you're going to give me your house. You're going to give me your land. You're going to give me your daughter. You're going to give me your son as a slave. You're going to give me your wife as a slave. And that's what they're doing. They were getting fat off the people. And Nehemiah said, whoa, wait a minute. Aren't you all Jews together? Aren't you all the same people? What in the world are you doing with this? And he ordered them to give everything back and a percentage on top. But he ordered them to give everything back, and he shamed them for it. And I think that it's time that we start shaming our politicians. I mean, tell me one that's not rich. And I don't care. You know, I'm not going to... I can say things without mentioning any names. I mean, there's people that have gone to Washington... And okay, say they get a $250,000 a year for whatever high office it is. There's a lot of people in Marion that make $250,000. Not too awfully many, but there's quite a few. And in Columbus, there's zoodles of them, and they're all over the place. Today, that's not a great of amount of money. Would you please tell me how you become a multi-millionaire or even close to being a billionaire for making that much money a year when you have two and three houses that probably chew up five times that anyway?
Well, it's your other source of income that they're not telling you.
Well, it is. So now I want to ask you.
AKA lobbyist money.
So what? And other kinds of money. Backdoor. Yes. And this is what I want to tell you about. We have people that we've supported in both sides of the coin in our elections that fit that category. And they still do, but yet will still stand up and say, oh, I've got it. I'm not going to vote for them anymore. I'm done. You know, if we can't send honest candidates to Washington, mm-hmm. you know, decent people that are trans... I get so tired of hearing the word... I believe when a politician uses the word transparent, they're talking about black paint or brown paint or green, something dark.
Yeah.
That you can't see through. I don't think they know what the word transparency means.
No.
And
well,
and,
well just real quick to play off of what you're saying, I Googled it the other day. Who do you think is the highest paid person in the state of Ohio?
I don't know.
Urban Meyer.
Yeah, but you know what? I have to say this.
Now, granted, he's not a politician.
But you know what? Because of his ability...
Sure.
He is bringing millions and millions of dollars into that university through the football program.
Yeah, yeah.
And he's part of that machine.
Sure.
I don't have any problem with people that are able to accomplish things to make a lot of money. Like, for instance, if someone comes to me and they say, Steve, I'm going to make you $2 million, but I need you to pay me $100,000 to make you that $2 million. If I know he can do it, mm-hmm. I'm going to scrape to get him that $100,000.
Well, do you think that the amount of people would still show up if he made $2 million a year?
How much you say he made?
$7.6 million per year.
Roughly. Well, here's the problem with that, and it's the same thing we run into with a lot of the professional sports, is that, yeah, I believe they would. Sure they would, but here's the problem. If we don't pay more than $2 million, another school's going to pay him three, four, five. And that's the problem. You know, I was just talking about simplicity. I'm all for bringing this stuff down to reality.
Yeah, yeah.
But
I'm just saying, you know, I mean, imagine the things that we could do with that $7.6 million, you know. Because, like, take Tressel, for example. You know, we you know, Tressel resigns. We still have to pay him. He gets his health care still. He's in, you know, I mean.
Yeah, but he was kind of railroaded, wasn't he?
Well, yeah, but I mean, it's...
But understand, those guys enter that field to get to that point.
Yeah, I mean, you talk about being wealthy, though. I mean, it kind of plays on the same thing.
See, I don't have problems with people being wealthy. I want them to take their wealth and use it wisely. I want them to be generous with what they are. I want them to show me a little bit of philanthropy. But at the same time, I don't have a problem with people making individual money. I think that some of it we get carried away with. You know, when an EMT, let me ask you this question. Do you know how much an EMT starts at your typical ambulance service or that type of a thing?
I'm going to guess around maybe $10 an hour.
Nah, you're close. About nine.
Nine, oh, wow.
Nine, yeah. Wow. And do you know how hard it is to get through EMT school and pass the national registry? See, to get state license, you got to pass a national registry. Hard test. I went through it and I took it, so this is how I know this stuff.
Yeah.
And now you're going to, you know, I saw McDonald's had a thing in the window the other day. They're hiring $12 an hour. But you're going to start someone that's going to save your life to get you to the hospital. They're going to save your life, and you're going to start them out at nine. So those kind of things, I'm thinking, wait a minute, we need to have a little bit of more sense about where some of this stuff goes. Let's see what really works. I mean, mm-hmm. what's important here?
Yeah.
And I think, personally, the reason that we're paying people like Trestle all that money is we've let sports run amok. Yeah. It's gone crazy. You know, look at, my word, the baseball players and the amount of money they're making is insane.
Yeah, well, like I say, I mean, you kind of throw them in the same realm as a politician. I mean, you know. I mean.
Well, the difference is, here's the big difference, and it's a huge difference here. I was reading that passage about the master and the servant. The politician is sent to Washington to serve us. The football player is a paid entertainer, no matter what else you call them. They're an entertainers have always, you know, made money, except Thunderbolt. You know, he claims he never made any. But entertainers always make, you know, they get paid to entertain. And mm-hmm. the better they entertain, the more they get paid, because mm-hmm. they draw crowds and crowds spend money. Mm-hmm. And a football player is no more than an entertainer. He draws crowds. People buy merchandise. People buy tickets. And they get paid based on their draw.
Mm-hmm.
Now, a politician is supposed to get paid a flat rate for what he does, to go to Washington for a period of time to serve you and I based on what he claimed he believed in, what he claimed he would try to do for his constituents when he went there. That's not what is happening today. Our politicians are getting to Washington. They're getting plugged into the system. They're learning where the money comes in, where to make money. And here's a sad thing, too. They're also learning that they better not speak up in certain areas, or they're going to get attacked by a mob. And there's a mob mentality in Washington that will destroy people that get in their way, because they've been there so long, they've made so much. It's kind of like when you go to prison and you decide, you know, it's better off to join the white Aryans than it is to stay around and keep getting beat up. And, you know, guys go into these, or in the inner city, into gang. Better be part of the gang to get beat up every time you walk down to the store. And our politicians have gotten into that in Washington, where it's better to join them than it is for them to wait for the first opportunity to, what, pull a scandal on you, to run you out of Washington, to make up something about you. I mean, unfortunately, this is the type of people we've got in Washington today, and it's sad. I know there's good people there. Sometimes I speak in a broad brush, and it's not always that broad. But it is a problem that's greatly causing a problem. And, you know, as Jesus spoke in the Bible about, you know, and I understand this, that you cannot be a master, you cannot be a leader without being a servant. Does that make sense? If I'm going to lead you, Terry, and I'm going to lead you in a direction, you're going to follow me. There's a reason you're going to do it. You're going to do it because, A, I've got your best interest in mind, and you believe that. B, I've shown evidence of that. And C, I'm worth following. And the problem is, we have all these people that come election time that will tell us these things, nothing ever changes. Nothing ever changes. We can look at, it was really weird. I've got this book that someone gave me, and it was on the presidents, and it's really neat. I just gave it to my one of my grandsons to start reading, and it goes, I forget when it was published, but it goes all the way up through George W. Bush, and that's the last, after it was published, it just doesn't have the two current. But anyway, it starts, and it tells about the first president, some of the situations he got into, blah, 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 a little bit about him, background. And then it's really cool. On each president, it has a folded up copy of either a letter they wrote or some like the Gettysburg Address is in there. Oh. And it's in Lincoln's own penmanship where they've copied that document and made it look original. It's folded up and in there. So each president has something like that in there. And I'm reading these things, but I'm looking at them, and what I'm finding out is the very things that they were doing back then that were not too kosher is the same stuff they're doing today. There doesn't seem to be any accountability, and I think the reason why is, as Americans, we're not holding them accountable. They can do anything they want, and come election time, once the ads start running, and once the media gets involved, we jump on a horse. The problem is they put a couple horses out there and say, you're going to have to jump on one of these two. Now, this guy's been cheating over here, and this one's been lying about this, and this one says that, and that one does this. And which horse do you jump on? Which horse do you jump on? I don't know. And you know, you've got one, the scare tactics over here. Boy, you elect this person, and they're going to do this. And, oh, man, we're going to go back 1,000 years. Oh, man, we can't do that. And then over on this side, you know, we've got somebody that says, you know what, you elect this person, and they're going to do this, and we're going to collapse and die in the next 5 years. And everyone, how many times, let me ask you this, Terry, how many times, and you've been around a long time as I have, since you can remember as a child and can first remember your first political ads that we'd really rather not remember, but we do, have they been talking about somebody is going to take your Social Security? They're going to take you. You're going to die. You know, they're going to take your Medicaid. They have been whipping this dead horse for the last 40 years, and not yet has it happened. Because you know what it is? It's a political ploy. There's no one that they're putting in Washington today that has the ability to individually go in there and touch any of those programs. It's a lie. But it plays well. When I'm some older person and I'm sitting there and I'm watching TV and, holy cow, I'm going to starve to death if they elect this person. I may sit here and die because I can't get out and do anything. They're going to take my Medicaid away. I won't be able to go to the doctor. And if you've been around a lot of older people, and we all have, you know that as we get older, we start getting a little more concerned and paranoid. And that's because we can't do as much for ourselves, and we have to rely on other people. So when that's threatened, our antenna goes up. And these politicians know it very, very, very well. Another good one was... I'll go to another side of the coin right now. There's one out there about, you know, one of the politicians testing rape kits and one of them not testing rape kits. Well, yeah, okay, the rape kits got... I am sure that ad is a true ad because they have to be true to a point or they'll get yanked. But here's the problem with that. Even though it's true, what are the mitigating circumstances why it happened on either side? And I say this because I don't know. Now, maybe there's a reason they weren't tested. Maybe there's a reason they were suddenly tested. Maybe they got tested, but it really didn't have anything to do with that politician getting it done. You see what I mean? Just like, you know, you see politicians that will claim, they'll claim service history they never had. Or they claim this they never had. Or maybe they helped invent this or invent that. Or maybe they were part of this great movement that they were never part of. And people hear that stuff. Yeah, that's a real patriot. We're letting scandalous stuff go on, Terry. And my Bible tells me that a leader has to be a servant, and I don't see too many out there today. I don't see them. I see politicians. I see them come on the radio. I see them come on TV, and all they want to do is trash other politicians. Am I right? That's all they do. Call each other snakes as their rattlers going off in the background. And it's just, when are we as a people, this is my concern, is when are we as a people going to step up and tell them, no, you're going to be accountable. Like, for instance, when they say something, say, whoa, I'd love to see media people do this for a change. Whoa, wait a minute. This is the facts. But see, the problem is that if we're the host and they're on our side of the table, we won't do that. It's kind of like saying to somebody, you can throw them an easy one. Like if I ask you a question and you tell me something and I say, well, Terry, what would you have to say to the people that don't believe that? Well, you've got something already there, right? Roll right off your tongue. But if I oppose what you're saying, or I really want to know, I'm going to say something like, you know, Terry, let's look at this other side of the coin. I'm not sure. Let's balance, you know, and get the conversation going. Not just open a door for them to keep trashing. And we see that throughout media, and everyone seems to have an agenda today rather than trusting the American people to be intelligent enough to figure out for themselves what they want. You know, as a pastor, I desire for people to come to Christ. But the only thing that I can do is tell them the truth and give them that opportunity. They have to make up their mind. It's their decision. I can't save anybody. Can't. And I think that we need to think about the personal decisions that we make in life too, and quit putting it on other people and trusting them to do things that they have no business holding our trust whatsoever. You know, I could sit here and I could start listing things on both sides of the parties that I've got some hard questions about. And I'll go to the libertarians, too. Some real hard questions about a few people. The minute I would start mentioning things a Democrat does, somebody get defensive. The minute I start mentioning things a Republican does, someone's getting defensive. You see what I mean? Instead of saying, you know what? He's got a good point. We really should get to the bottom of A, B, or C and make sure we hold these people accountable, because Washington will never hold itself accountable. You know what I mean? It's kind of like seeing someone rob your house, and when they're coming out the door, stop them, saying, hang on just a minute. I trust you didn't take anything I'm going to need tomorrow. I mean, and it's that bad. I mean, we're asking people that are, you know, we've got the fox watching the hen house. And you know, at some point, the American people, you know, they talk about grassroots movements. I'd love to see a new grassroots movement. It's called being an American, being who we were. We sent representatives from the beginning of this country. We sent representatives to Washington. And everybody likes to talk about major events in our country. Had we not sent a skinny old, poorly educated lawyer, he was a lawyer, to Washington by the name of Abraham Lincoln, what would have become of slavery? Now, I know there were a lot of people fighting against it at the time. There's a lot fighting for it at the time. The point is, we sent someone that did a job. And they got to be willing to risk their own lives to do it. John Wilkes Booth proved that. You know what I mean? John F. Kennedy proved that. Am I right? You got to be willing to say, I'm here for the people. And I may leave Washington dead, broke, and hated, but I'm here for the people. And quit lying. You know, oh, for crying out loud, Terry. Just think about it. The people that have come, I'm sure there's been people who have come on this show, and they straighten their tie, and they talk grand. And they go, what have you done for me lately? Matter of fact, what did you do for me when you were in office? You know, but they're an expert. If they're an expert on Washington, they've been there too long. You see what I mean? We should have independent thinkers that are constituents from the state they come from that go into Congress and they vote based on what they believe, based on what they told their constituents they'll do, and come right down the line with an honest vote. Not say, well, I'm voting with all the Republicans because I'm a Republican, or saying I'm voting with all the Democrats because I'm a Democrat. And that's all we see going on. Where's the individuality? Are you telling me that all those members of Congress that are Democrats, all come from a state that's exactly the same, that feels the same? No, they don't. And the Republicans, it's the same deal. Are you telling me that all those Republicans, all their constituents, want exactly the same thing? No, they're not. There's no individuality, and there has to be. A good leader, and I'm going back to what Jesus says to where I'm with this, a good leader has a hold of the pulse of his people. He knows how they feel, what they think, what they need, and he has compassion for them, not contempt. And he's there to serve them, not himself and not herself. And there's way too much of that going on. I get so tired when I hear any politician today referred to as a hero. Oh, give me a break. I'll tell you who are the heroes. The heroes are those guys that get out of bed that are volunteer firemen in the middle of the night that might get enough to cover their gas for doing that, and they go save somebody's life. There's your heroes. The preachers that stand in a pulpit because they want to help people and they're not getting paid very much, but they stand there because they love people and they do it week after. Those are heroes. The school teacher that'll go out of their way for a child that needs help. There's my heroes. The mom taking care of 5 and 6 kids on her own and working 2 jobs. There's a hero. Not some politician that's getting fat. We got to wake up in this country, Terry, and quit grooming these people. I mean, we hold them up. They come in there and, oh, this is the honorable, blah, blah, blah. Baloney, where's the honor? Call them out on the carpet. Doesn't sound like much of a pastor today, do I?
No.
Hey, listen, you people understand my passion out there. I'm sure you do. And I pray daily for this country and the people in it. But America, we've been given a great blessing to have this country. And we need to take the personal responsibility to keep it the country that we've known it throughout our life, and the country we want to leave it for our children. You know, not let it be sold to the highest bidder on a constant basis. You know, that's not the way this country was meant to operate. History's a good teacher. That's all I'm going to say. Look into history. Don't try to emulate something that never worked anywhere else. There's a reason this has been the greatest country for a long time, and it should stay that way. God bless you, people. Please come out to Our Day in the Park. We're at 209 East Water Street. Our Day in the Park will be this week from 3 to 6 in the Prospect Park. Show up and get fat. What I mean by that is we're going to have plenty of food there. But comment doesn't cost you a dime. Your kids will enjoy it. I'm sure there will be face painting, all kinds of fun stuff.
The place is WWGH 107.1 FM.
We're in tune with WWGH, and we have a lot for you today, including...